Our reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, commencing at verse 16. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
A little test to start off with. Who can remember our verse for the year? Anyone? Yes? Well done, John. So I haven't got a prize for you. Yes, behold, I am making all things new. From Revelation 21. Of course, looking at the end times when Jesus comes again and winds up this world as we know it and makes a new one. But God has always been in the business of making things new. From the very beginning when he created all things. Then after the flood, he gave the earth a brand new start. And he continually gave his people new beginnings. And the coming of Jesus, which we've just celebrated, gives new hope for the world. New hope for people like you and me. And we like new things, don't we? I'm sure we had some new things for Christmas. And here we are again at the end of another year. How did that happen? And we face another new year. January, named after Janus, the two-headed Roman god who faced forwards and backwards. And that's what we tend to do at this time of year, isn't it? Look back at the past year and see all that has happened in our lives, personally, corporately and nationally. We have TV programs reminding us of all the momentous events of the last year. No prizes for what will be on top of the list this year. For some, I'm sure the past year has been a good one, with happy occasions to celebrate. Birthdays, babies, marriage. Got a new baby here this morning. Let's see, welcome, baby, got the name, baby, sorry, Elizabeth, baby Elizabeth, very Christmassy name. Rejoice and give thanks, new job opportunities, and we rejoice with them. For others, it will have been a difficult year, losing a loved one, facing major upheaval in the form of ill health, relationship breakdown, and are glad to see the back of the old year, and hope for better in the coming one. As a fellowship, we've known disappointments and times of testing this year, much sickness, and we stand together and will continue to stand together till God's will is revealed. But the new year is an opportunity for new beginnings, and many people make resolutions to try and do things differently in their life. After Christmas, top of the list will probably be losing weight, getting fit, even maybe joining the gym. Stop smoking or drinking too much. For Christians, it may also be spending more time in prayer and Bible reading. Sadly, though starting off enthusiastically, very often by the end of February, those resolutions are a distant memory, either because the effort was too hard, lack of perseverance, or just unrealistic expectations. Now, I don't know what you're hoping for in this coming year, but I know what the Lord wants for us. It's for us to have new beginnings. A fresh start. Do you remember the excitement of having new exercise books at school at the beginning of a new year? Clean and neat and tidy. Sadly, in my case at least, they didn't stay nice and neat and tidy for very long. They were doing crossings out, ink blobs from the old dipping pens we had to use. Not to mention lots of red crosses from the sums and spellings they got wrong. Well, the start of the new year, it's a bit like that. We have the chance to make a fresh start. It lies before us like a clean, unblemished page. I saw this quote. Today is the start. Today is the first blank page of a 365-page book, Write It Well. Or in our case, it's the day after tomorrow. It's the first blank page of a 365-page book, Write It Well. Well, the passage read earlier contains a wonderful promise from Lord from his people who are facing an uncertain future, going through a tough time, either in or facing exile in a foreign land because of their unfaithfulness and idolatry. God is promising them a new beginning. And though written to people in a different time, a different place and different circumstances, we can make these promises our own because he is the same God, the same yesterday, today and forever. He wants to do a new thing for us. But first of all, we have to do a few things ourselves. First of all, we've got to let go of the past. The Lord says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It seems strange he's telling them to forget what's gone before, but he's just reminded them of what he has done for them by rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, in crossing the Red Sea. But he goes on, and this is the important bit, he adds, do not dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past. You know, looking back and remembering all God's goodness to us is right. And we do give thanks. It also gives us hope that what he's done for us in the past, he can do it again. But leave the past where it belongs, in the past. Even the good things. You know, let's let go of our past blessings. We may have had a wonderful conversion experience of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And we thank God for them. But wonderful as they are, they will not see us through the present challenges. Lamentation says that God's mercies are new every morning. We need fresh resources of grace and power to meet the needs of today. Look back, yes, and remember, give thanks, but move on. Also, must let go of our past successes. Athletes can't rely on their past successes when on the starting line and think, I'll be okay, I've won the last few races. No, they've got to keep their eye on the finishing line and really go for it every time. Similarly, armies going into battle can't rely on past successes. They need new tactics and new strength for each new battle. And so do we. Our past achievements won't help us to win today's battles. We must let go of past failures. And this is really important because they can hold us back. We have all failed in one way or another. But we were encouraged to keep on trying. We wouldn't have had some of the great inventions if people had given up because of failure. I like Edison's words. I haven't failed. I've just found 1,000 ways that don't work. We just keep on trying. Failure gives us another chance to do better. And scripture is full of examples of people who could have given up at the first hurdle. People like Moses, David, Joseph, Simon, Peter, and Saul. We know their stories. They were all failures in one way or another. But they didn't let the past define their future. God's hand was in it all. They let God down, but he gave them a fresh start. And he can do the same for us. If we want a new start, we must let go of all those things, as well as any bitterness and resentment, because they will hold us back. As we maybe review the past year and see how we failed, then just hear the Lord say, I am doing a new thing in you and for you. So let go of the past and look to the future. And Paul is a great example of someone looking to the future. Even at the end of a life devoted to spreading the gospel, now an old man and in prison, Paul could still say, forgetting what is behind, I press on to what is ahead. After all his achievements, he was still looking ahead and wanted more. He could have dwelt on his life of persecuting Christians and thought, I'm a failure, or of his great achievements. But he always felt there was more for him to do and be. He had his eye on the finishing line and the prize that awaited him in heaven. It's the picture of an athlete straining for the finishing tape. And just as God said to the Israelites here, who look back to the Exodus as the greatest event in their history, you ain't seen nothing yet. What I will do for you in the future will be something brand new, unprecedented, that you would never dream of. His people would be in exile again, and he would rescue them again, but it wouldn't be in the same way. It would be something new. There's more, and the best is yet to be. Of course, the prophecies in Scripture are multi-layered. At one moment, the prophet is addressing the immediate situation in the nation, but we can also see glimpses of what God will do much further in the future when the Messiah comes, and even to the very end when Jesus comes again. And we can take encouragement from some of these promises. For example, he says here, I am making a way in the desert. Does that remind you of the words of John the Baptist heralding the coming of the Messiah? Make way in the desert with the call to repentance. The Lord is able to make a way where there is no way, in the bleakest desert-like situations in our lives. So if your circumstances are such that you can't see a way out, the Lord would say to you, I am able to make a way for you. He can give hope and direction when we feel all hope is gone. He makes a way in the wilderness of the world. That's why Jesus was born. We just celebrated his birth, but he wasn't just a baby. He was born to die as our Savior, to restore our hope and give us new life. To the disciples upset at Jesus leaving them, he said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way back to Father God. He lived and died to show us a better way of life. So if you need direction and hope for the coming year, look to the Lord. We also recognize here the promise of refreshing water. He makes streams in the wasteland of his people. It's a reminder of Jesus' promise of giving living water springing up to eternal life. A picture of all the blessings that flow from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, hope, grace, forgiveness, strength, peace, and so on. They're all found in Jesus by the Holy Spirit, gifts from God. And they can be ours. God says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? At the time, his people probably would have said, no, we don't see it. All they could see was they were living in a foreign land, hundreds of miles from home, with strange language and customs, no place to worship, living among a pagan people. Things were tough. But God is assuring them that he is doing something now. They may not see it, but he is at work on their behalf. I brought a visual aid. Look at this bulb. Do you see this bulb? You can't see it, can you? But I assure you, there is a bulb in there. And though we can't see it now, hopefully, one day, very soon, it will be visible. But just because we can't see it, doesn't mean nothing is happening. In fact, God is already working to bring his people out of slavery again. In the book of Daniel, and remember he was among the exiles taken to Babylon as a teenager, we know that he used to pray and read the scriptures faithfully. Once, when he was reading the words of another prophet, Jeremiah, he read how the exile would last 70 years. Then the Lord would bring his people home. Well, as Daniel was about 80 by this time, he worked out that it was about time this happened. And he prayed to God about it, reminding him of his promise. And sure enough, within the next few years, the exiles began to return home when a new King Cyrus allowed them to return. The whole time, God had been working things out, unseen, for their good. So don't despair. Like Daniel, trust God that he is working things out for your good. Romans says, all things work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Admittedly, it's sometimes hard to see the good in our situations at the time. Maybe in hindsight, we can see God's hand in it all, but trust him with the future. Let go of the past. Look to the future. But there's one more thing we must do. Make the most of the present. As Christians, we're living in the here, the now, and the not yet. Some of God's promises are for the future, for the end times when Jesus comes again. But in the meantime, We must live our lives in the here and now while keeping our eye to the future. I came across this saying. I'll see if I can hear. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. You can't read it very well, so I'll say it again. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Yesterday, every day is a gift from God. And today, even now, is the only moment we can be sure of. We don't know when we will take our last breath. So if we want the assurance of life to the full now and life everlasting with the Lord, what we do today matters. Make today count. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Because you know, all our pasts and futures are determined by the decisions we make today. And how we view this person of Jesus Christ. We've just celebrated his birth, and our cards and carols depict him as a tiny, helpless baby. Is that all? Do we really believe that he grew up to become our Savior when he died on the cross? That he was not just the Son of God, but God himself? And most people today have no difficulty in accepting that he was a man of history, a good man, a wonderful teacher. Many will accept he was a special man, a prophet who was able to say and do wonderful things. But when it comes to accepting that he is Lord, God, our Lord and Savior, it can become a sticking point because it demands a personal response. If he is my Lord and Savior and gave himself for me, then he wants me to give myself to him and let him be in control of my life. But the Christmas story reminds us that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to earth to share our humanity, our lives, our everyday experiences, and be there to help us. He has already walked the path and knows what we are going through. The physical pain, the hurt of rejection and betrayal, the grief, the loneliness. So if you're here this morning and have never come to the point of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better way to start the new year with fresh hope, joy and purpose? We can put the past behind us, knowing there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No condemnation. When we come to the Lord and repent, that is, have a turnaround in our life, say sorry for the things that we've done wrong, and ask God's help to live better, we are forgiven. And the Lord says he remembers them no more. He casts them into the depths of the sea, and he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. We don't have to keep dragging them up. If he has forgotten them, why would we remember them? They're gone, and that's such good news. In Christ, we are new creations. The old is gone, and the new has come. We can put our future in his hands because he has a plan and a purpose for each of us. I don't know what you are hoping and praying for this coming year, but keep on asking, seeking, and knocking until his will is revealed. Maybe it's something new for you this year. If the Lord has given you a promise or a word, then hold on to it. Water it with prayer and scripture like Daniel did. There's a verse in Habakkuk that says, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. Because God does things on schedule, but it's his schedule. For us, it may be no, maybe yes, or maybe not yet. Maybe there's something new you can do for the Lord. Is there an area of service in the church you can't contribute to? If you've got a particular gift you can use, just seek the Lord for where he would have you serve. Because there's a reminder in these verses that what God is doing for them isn't because they deserve it. It's simply because they are his people and he loves them. He says, the people I formed and made that they may proclaim my praise. Because he wants us to love and serve him. He deserves our worship and service. But sadly, as we go into the new year, many of our situations will not change. We will still grieve the loss of a loved one. we will still suffer ill health and an uncertain future. That relationship problem or employment difficulty will not have changed with the date. The situations may not change, but we can. So maybe we need a new you, a new me. We can't change the situation, but we can change our attitude to our situations. Maybe we need a fresh measure of love, more grace, more faith, more patience to accept the things that face us. So you want to put the past behind you and face a brand new future. Make today the day your new life begins. We have the table before us as a reminder of what Christ has done for us. He took all our wrongs and failures and shortcomings on himself when he died on the cross. So we don't have to carry them anymore. Just look at the cross and see Jesus' arms outstretched saying, I love you this much. I died for you. If you want prayer for anything this morning, there will be people here able to do that with you. So if you want a new you as you go into the new year, let go of the past and all the things that hold you back. Look to the future, to all the good things the Lord wants for you. May today be the start of something brand new in your life. And may we all be open to that new thing the Lord wants to do in us and through us, as individuals and as a fellowship in this coming year. Amen. So let's pray. As we embark on a new year, may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, the peace of the Christ child, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.